Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, it's Greg Hoffman from Take Command. And the best part about podcasts is they create a 25th hour in the day. Whenever I'm commuting, metro, car, even when I'm riding my bike around town, although in that case, one earphone only, safety kids, I'm always listening to podcasts. And this offseason, you can get all the insights, all the news, all the analysis, and Logan and I occasionally make a joke or two in the Take Command podcast on demand so it fits in to your busy schedule. Follow Take Command in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
This is Matt Spiegel, and I can't wait to bring you season two of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. It's a job so special that even Joe Buck told us he will probably go back to it.
I'm 53, basically 54. I think it's too early to say nevers at this point in my life. I think at some point I'll get the itch again.
Incredible guests sharing great stories from your favorite teams coming this year. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
Take Command. I'm Greg Hoffman. He is Logan Paulson. We did Mock Draft 4.0. I can't believe we've done four of these suckers already. Mock Draft 4.0 last week, post first wave of free agency edition, Logan. And the reaction was interesting for sure, because we did something that a lot of people were like, no. And then they're like, yeah, because we both traded back and took Jaden Daniels. But there's also a reaction to what we did with those extra picks and, you know, going Latu over an offensive tackle later in the first round. Some of the other decisions that we made. I know you were reading through the comments. I've obviously been reading through them as well. And I think it's probably a good time to take a step back here as we're going to enter an even heavier mock draft season with a month to go until the draft itself. And like, explain the point of what it is to do a mock draft, why we do them, why they're fun, why they're useful. So what's your answer to that question? Like, what's the point of a mock draft?
So I think it's every time we do a mock draft, I learn something new about draft flow, because you have like a very specific perception of the way you think it's going to go. You're like, oh, it's going to go these people, then these people. And then you realize like, oh my gosh, like Minnesota could do that, or New Orleans could do that. And that's going to push this guy down, and this guy's going to be there. And then I have a really high grade on this guy because I thought he was going to go in the top 10. And all of a sudden he's here at 32 or 23 or whatever it is. And so for me, it's just a way to show the variability of the draft, the mock draft, to play out different scenarios. And also, I think that, again, to kind of peel back the veil of how these conversations go with teams, like everyone thinks it's this concrete board. And I think it's because the media kind of cycles the same, you know, 50 guys through your newsfeed every day, but there are differing perspectives on these players. And I think like in the context of that one decision we were talking about, which is Leatu Latu or Olufoshanu, part of that is like, I think we both like Olufoshanu. You know, I think he's a really good player. You think he is? I like Leatu Latu. I think he's a good player too. But ultimately, like what that decision came down to in the context of that one specific event was just basically saying like, what if they did take the person that they had graded higher as opposed to filling a need? What happens then? I know fans were upset by that, but I think that's a very real conversation that happens where they say, man, even though this is a need, this is a good player, we need to fill a need on this team. Like, this is a player we have graded as a top five player, top 10 player, and he's here at 23. We have to take him, you know? And I think that's ultimately what happens there. And I think the other thing I think people forget is they think of the draft as the end all be all when it comes to filling out the roster. There's going to be post draft cuts. Good football players are going to be available, and you can fill the team out that way. So even though we think, oh, we got to get a tackle, like in some ways, I don't want a young left tackle. Like at some point I do. I've always been an advocate for tackle. I think they're hard to find. I think this year is great for getting a tackle. But let's say hypothetically we don't get one. There are other opportunities to fill that need. And I think that's important for fans to kind of keep in to remember and understand, is that this is a fluid process. And I think the mock draft is just an easy way to kind of show you the variability of the day and why certain decisions, while they might seem crazy, are well-reasoned and justified in the team's eyes.
Yeah, totally. It's never just player A versus player B. It's like, yeah, what are the other things informing? So like one of the things we looked at in that pick was what kind of player would we get at the other position if we waited another 20 picks or 10 picks even. I think we were at 23 because we took the Vikings picks and then we were 36 still. And so it's like, okay, if we take Latu at 23, what kind of offensive tackle is available for us at 36? And we really liked the crop that was still available. I think like Guyton was still on the board.
Yeah.
Obviously the guys like Sua Mataya and Patrick Paul were still on the board.
Amarius Mims was still on the board. Like there was some really good football players.
There was a ton of guys and it was like, okay, well, if one of these top guy, Guyton and Mims or whatever falls, like hallelujah. But even if it doesn't, like we can get a really good edge and a guy that's just below those guys at tackle versus if we switch it, we didn't feel very good about the edges that were going to be available at 36, potentially, in terms of their fit. Now, it turned out that we could have gotten Chop Robinson, and maybe we should have done that. You don't know. Yeah. You know, maybe you should have gone Amarius Mims at 23 and then Chop Robinson at 36 instead of Latu and whoever, I think Sua Mataya, whoever we picked. I think we wound up actually going McConkey and then getting Patrick Paul at 40 or whatever it was. So I think that's kind of the thing is it's, what do you have next time? And also, if you're doing like the real big team building picture, what's next year's class look like?
Right.
Because if you're going, okay, I can get like the sixth best left tackle, or I can sign someone in phase two or three of free agency to get me through the year, and I can prioritize tackle of the future in next year's draft.
Or next year's free agency? Like,
yeah, because like we know going in, it's a really strong class. Maybe you do that. And I think there's some teams that have done that with especially quarterback where it's like, we're going to, you know, kind of pass up this year, try to accumulate picks next year because we want to be up in a particular class, a la the Chicago Bears, perhaps last year, knowing they might have a shot at Caleb Williams and it kind of worked out for them. So I think that those bigger pictures of the free agency classes, current and future, what your timeline is, current and future, what, you know, other draft capital you have, what this current draft is contouring like, all those things go into that. And I think I agree with you that the mock drafts really show some how certain things can adjust and all of a sudden, you know, one player falling can shape the entire or change the shape of the entire draft.
Hey everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is, like, even with the Ladd McConkey pick, like, we probably, in a real-world scenario, take Kingsley Suamataya, but we've picked him in three consecutive mock drafts, so let's pick someone different. And I like Ladd a lot, so why not pick him? You know what I'm saying? So there is an element of that, like, just getting new names in circulation, because I think that's part of it, right? Like, they might, on the day, be like, Ladd McConkey is our fourth-graded wide receiver. We have him above, and here he is. Let's take him at 36.
Yeah, he's a tier-three player, and everyone else on our board's tier-four.
And I think that's a great pick. You know, it's the same thing that happened with Leatu Latu and Olufoshanu, right? It's like we just had a slightly higher grade on Leatu Latu, so let's take him. And again, neither one of those is wrong, but those are the types of things that parse out here because it is so subjective. And I know there's a lot of people that I've spoken with that say, oh, it absolutely has to be player X. But to me, that just tells me you haven't watched enough film to know that there's player X, Y, Z, A, B, C, D. There's a ton of players that could fill this need. And I think that's part of the process, right? Just showing here's some different names, here's some different scenarios that I think work for this team and would make this a better football team.
Yeah. And it's not like we're doing it to be shock jockey. It's just like, let's see what happens here. It's an exercise. Yeah. We're doing things that we think are good for the Commanders, but it's not like a hardcore prediction because like, what does that even look like? I think that especially when we're relying on a mock draft simulator, right? Like if we're relying on what PFF gives us, I think at some point soon we will do a first round mock where I would say more predictive. Now at that point, like, you know, it was more fun in some ways last year when we were sitting at 16, because we could really shape the first 15 picks before. Like Chicago is going to take Caleb Williams and then Washington's going to pick it too. And then we're going to pick whichever quarterback we think at the time is the most likely. But it'll be fun to then see what the rest of the draft looks like and what positions and position groups and specific players will be available for Washington at the top of the second round. So maybe we'll do a 1-40 mock draft where we actually go through and pick every single player. So I think those are more predictive, and like we would say, okay, submit this to the people who grade the mock drafts for accuracy. But I think it's fun to like understand what happens. Cause I'll give you another example in this draft that probably doesn't wind up affecting the Commander. Some weird stuff would have to happen for this player to come into play for them. But like everyone agrees, Brock Bowers is a game changer. He is a tight end out of Georgia, super unique, type of athlete, agreed on, I think pretty universally, as one of the 10 best players in this draft. He's starting to fall into mocks just because other, like a lot of people doing the mocks are valuing other positions. Mm-hmm. And so it winds up being like, do I want the tackle or Brock Bowers? Brock's the better player, but I'm going to go the tackle. And like five teams do that, and suddenly Brock Bowers is available in the middle of the first round. And some team might be like, this is crazy. I'm trading up. Now the whole contour of the draft changes. Right. And so I think those are the kinds of things that when you do these mocks, like happen with some frequency, is you just eventually see one guy who's should not, like, does it make sense with the other names available? And then what do you do if you're the team that's on the board?
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely right. And so again, that's part of the process, part of the fun. Get some different names in circulation, get some different scenarios. And again, like on the day when we did that, I had Latu graded higher than Olufashanu. I did. And so I'm going to pick him there. And then if I'm the GM, I'm going to handle the tackle need in the fourth wave of free agency, the first wave post the draft. Like that's my process there, because there are other ways to do that. And I know like Ladd McConkey over Kingsley Sumatai, like Kingsley Sumatai is a developmental prospect. And maybe I feel much better about Ladd's impact year one as a guy that fits with Kingsbury's vision. And I think that's another huge variable here. So again, like good, we drafted good football players. Like I came out of that thinking like, wow, if this happened, like I'd be pretty stoked, you know, but I think it's a different way to build a team, and it doesn't tick all the needs that I think people perceive the team having. And they forget, I think, that there's other opportunities to kind of flesh it out. So
for sure. I do. My favorite comments are the ones that are mad at the simulator. Like we didn't do it. Like, yeah. Don't yell at us for taking the good football players that the simulator gave us.
Yeah.
But I realize you can't yell at a simulator. So we'll accept your comments with smiles on our faces.